No more last I had, bro. Thank you, bro, Larry.
You mind the Lord?
Brother Ken said, Louisville, I'm on the other side. I'm up in eastern Kentucky. Brother Milby would be closer to Louisville than me. We're glad to be here this morning. Glad God's let us be here this week. I've certainly enjoyed the services last night especially. And God's done many things for me in my life. Best thing he ever done, of course, was save me. But he didn't stop there, and he's still not stopped yet. He's still doing things. Let me say this before we read. You can turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark chapter 12. But my wife called last night. Me and Brother Milby's in the room. She said, Jacob called me this morning, and that's a boy in our church that's about 20 years old, but he's not saved. And she said, he wanted me to call you and tell them people down there in that church to pray for him. And then she said he called me a few minutes ago and asked me if the church was locked up, that he wanted to come out to the church. And he was at the church while she was talking to me on the phone. He called me about 2 weeks ago and said, Preacher, I need to talk to you. I want you to pray for me. Could I come out? I'm sick. And he came out and I said, sure you can. We went to the church and prayed, but I think his sickness was conviction. And I said, the Lord wants to save you, son. And I said, he will save you. And he's a bashful type boy. He hung his head down. And I said, more than that, I think he's going to save you. And I'm looking to hear any time that God has saved him. And I said that to say this. I want y'all to pray for him. I want to honor his request and ask you folks to pray for him. Chapter 12 in the Gospel of Mark. I want to begin reading in verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, Thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. You can be seated. If the Lord will help us just for a few minutes, I want to look in verse 34, that phrase that Jesus answered him with, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." I think in this day we have a lot of times many misunderstandings about what the kingdom of God really is. And yet God gives us the answer. It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And this kingdom that is so mentioned so much in the Word of God is a must. It's not a maybe, but it's a must. In order for you to get into this kingdom, there's something that has to take place that's not humanly possible. It's a divine work of God that gets us into the kingdom. Jesus explained it to Nicodemus very plainly. He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And that word "see," that simply means cannot know, cannot comprehend, cannot understand the ways and things of God. And then he went on to say, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And yet we know, as children of God this morning, that have been birthed into this kingdom, we know that it's a spiritual thing. It's not an earthly thing. It takes that divine work of God to get us into the kingdom of God. And to get into this kingdom, we cannot get into this kingdom without this kingdom getting into us. It's a two-way thing, but both events are of God this morning. I want to preach, if God will help us just a little bit this morning, not far from the kingdom. We're living in a day and hour today that our churches are filled with folks that are really not in the kingdom of God. Our pews are filled with folks that have produced some kind of thing in themselves to make them think that they're in the kingdom of God. We have those that run our churches today that tell folks all they've got to do is come to an altar, sign a card, and repeat a prayer, and they're in the kingdom of God. But I want to say this morning, it's much more than that. No man can get into the kingdom of God without the new birth. And the new birth comes. I want us to realize this morning, it's a process that's of God and not of man. God does the work. And I want to say, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. Somewhere along the line, you've got to hear a preaching of the Word of God. And this preaching has got to be under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And God will take that word and put it in your heart. He'll open up your understanding and make you to see yourself as you really are. There's no way that a sinner can see himself as he really is. Yes, until God pulls the curtain back and shows him the truth about what what he is, and where he is, and who he is. And when that takes place, a condemnation sets up on the inside. Of guilt and shame and trouble begins to work on the inside. I've never felt anything like Holy Ghost conviction. I've never had anything to trouble me like Holy Ghost conviction. At the age of 29, I was as mean as anybody could be, and just in a moment of time went to the house of God on a Sunday morning. Hadn't been since I was a little old boy with my grandparents except to a funeral or something of that nature. But one day on the job I got to talking to a friend of mine, and we's talking about another friend, and he's talking about this man who's going to heaven, and he's worked off hours. And I told him, I said, if he is going to heaven, I ain't got nothing to worry about. But I want to tell you, he's going to hell just like I'm going to hell. And God, I took my own words that I spoke from my own mouth and got me to thinking about myself and where I was going to spend eternity. I went home to my mama, and next day or so I went over to her house. She hadn't been saved but about a year. I said, Mom, today's some things troubling me. I told her what was going on. And she said, son, I don't know what to tell you. But said, God wants you to go to church with me. Said the preacher, he'll be able to help you. I know he can. I said, why don't you come over Sunday and go to church with me? That was on a Friday evening. I went back home and I studied about it. I couldn't sleep much that night, nor Saturday night. I told my wife the next morning, I said, I think I'll go over and go to church with Mom this morning. I said, you want to go? She said, no, but you go ahead if you want to. I went over and got the car. We went to the house of God, little old country church, right up the holler between two mountains. And the old man of God got up to preach. I sat on the back seat. But when he got to preaching, I thought, how in the world does he know all that about me? How'd he find out about me like he has? I just don't understand it. And I left the church that morning under deep Holy Ghost conviction. I got out in the car and sat down and waited for Mama to come out of the church house. And she come out and got in the car. We started down the road. I never said a word. And she looked over and said, son, what you think of the service? I said, well, I guess it's all right. But I'll tell you, there was so much of condemnation for my sinful life and my sinful way. The guilt overflowed me. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. I went to work. The next month, I don't know why I'm going this way, but I went to work the next Monday morning, working in Frankfort, Kentucky, 80 miles from where I live one way. I got in the work hand with the first cousin, and there's a little a skip of snow that had come during the night, and the road was icy, and I thought to myself, if we's to have a wreck, I'd go to hell. If I got killed before I got to work, I'd go to hell. I got on the job, we's tearing down walls in Kentucky, state college dormitories, and everywhere that we tear that wall out, and that ceiling drop ceiling out, there'd be a cross. Couldn't get away from that cross. I said, Lord, have mercy on this world. Am I going to do? And I went to the boss man. Nobody liked a good pipe. That's a hard job. And I said, would you let me go down into the basement and cut pipe? We had our machinery set up in the basement. And I went down there into the basement and I got a piece of that pipe and that long cutter. And I put her on that tripod. And when I come down, there's another cross. Oh, oh, thank you, Lord. I tell you, I couldn't have no rest the whole week. Every single day, I tore all the pieces. About Thursday, I got to thinking Sunday, we're never going to get there. Lord, Lord, I prayed and didn't know how. I said, Lord, hurry up so I can get back to that church house. I got thought, didn't know nothing. Thought I had to be in church to get saved. I didn't know I could have got saved just anywhere. I thought I had to be in the church house. I so silly that I thought I had to wait for an invitation for them before I could come down. And I think finally a Sunday morning come. I got back in the car with my mom and went back to church. I sat out middle ways, about where this dear sister, or a little further back, sitting. And I sat there, and they had another preacher. He wasn't the same one. Here's the man who said, come in there visiting. And I remember thinking, after this day, I could not tell you one word that he said. All I was thinking, I wish he'd hurry up and give that invitation. And finally, he stepped down here and said, I don't remember him saying, but when he put out his arms, I was crying. You could have heard the other full of the church house was full. They probably thought of different people stuffed in that little old country church. And I didn't care who heard me. I didn't care what they said or thought. It didn't make a difference to me. All the reason of this moment thing I thought is between me and God. I thought, hurry up and give that invitation. And I remember getting up and climbing, running. And put my arms around that preacher. And I said, I want to be saved. I was a crying loud. And the old man of God, my great uncle, he is the pastor. And he's standing over here. And Matty Agnes said, talk to the pastor. And I just let go of him and run around him, around the neck. And I said, I want to be saved. You know what he said? He said, you're not down there and pray. He never said nothing else. He just said, get back down there and pray. I remember as I knelt down, I remember thinking, my Lord, I don't even know how to pray. And I said three words is all I said. I probably said them 50 times. But when I knelt down on my face on that altar,
Nobody. Didn't come up and pray with me.
Everybody just sat in their seats. Old preacher,
he's still standing there. And I remember saying, God help me. God help me. That's all I thought to say. I said, God help me. God help me. God help me. And a few minutes, I don't know how long it was, but that wind that Brother Reed was talking about stepped into my soul, and that guilt was gone. That shame was gone. That condemnation was gone. And arose up from that altar, and the old man of God, he said, well, has the Lord saved you? I said, I guess he has. I didn't really understand what's going on. I just know that there's a peace swept into my soul, and I felt as clean as a newborn baby. I thought that I could just drift up into the clouds. I never experienced anything like it, and never have sin. It's the best thing that's ever happened to anybody, is to get birthed into the kingdom of God and the sweet peace of Jesus upon your soul. And you know without doubt that a divine change has taken place, and there's a different master set up rules in your life, and your hunger with a desire to serve him and worship him and obey him. And that is God outweighs everything.
I never experienced anything like it. You know, I'm still experiencing it. Oh, not being saved again once is enough. Once is all it takes. But I'm experiencing little phases in my life where the kingdom of God gets real. Once all in the Holy Ghost passes my way once in a while, I can't contain myself. You see, joy is of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't come from the natural man. Little happiness might come from the natural man, but joy don't come from the natural man. Joy comes in the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes by in that way, a joy overfloods our souls, and we can do nothing but just worship him. That's what it's all about. You see, you can't get in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God not get in you. You see, Jesus made it plain to Nicodemus. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said these things unto thee. Ye must be born again to get into the kingdom of God. Oh, what a joyous experience. Oh, what something. Oh, I can't describe it this morning. I've tried to, but it couldn't have the time to do it. I'll tell you this morning, it's the most wonderful, it's the most blessed, it's the most joyful thing that ever takes place in a human being, being born again and birthed into the kingdom of God. What a joy it is to be in the kingdom this morning. I know some folks that are not far, but they're not in. Notice, he told this scribe Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But he didn't say he's in it. A lot of people sit in our churches, they're not far as regards knowledge. A lot of people have some knowledge, earthly knowledge about the Scripture. They don't have any divine knowledge. But they have some earthly knowledge about the Scriptures. They have a knowledge. This young man did. I'm reminded of that rich young ruler. He had some knowledge about the Scriptures when the Lord gave him those commandments to follow. He said, all of these have I observed from my youth up. He had some knowledge concerning the kingdom of God. But he's still outside the kingdom. Many in our churches today absolutely don't know what that I'm preaching about this morning. They never had an experience of the new birth. They know nothing about the peace of God that passes all understanding. They know nothing about the joy of the Holy Ghost. They don't really know anything about righteous living. They just don't know. Oh, they have some knowledge about, but it's not the thing about. That ain't going to do any good knowing about him. You've got to know him. So, as regards to knowledge, there's a lot of people that's not far from the kingdom. As regards to morals, there's a lot of people that way. Not far from the kingdom concerning their morals. The saddest thing that still breaks my heart today is when I was a boy growing up, and the people that lived around my grandpa, just old farmers, old hillside farmers, and honest as the day was long, whatever they told you, you could count on. And if you shook hands with them, that's a bond that wouldn't be broken.
You're right.
And I remember them so well. So many good old people. Uncle Dave, Uncle Dad, others all up down that road. And many of them lost without God. But as far as their morals were concerned, they wouldn't curse. They wouldn't lie to you. They wouldn't cheat you. They had some good morals about them. That the way they dressed, oh, today they make a lot of church members look bad. Somebody's preaching about it, maybe Brother Milby last night. They dressed right. They was honest. They worked hard. They respected people. As far as their morals were concerned, they were not far from the kingdom. But they didn't have that peace and joy. They didn't have that desire birthed in to worship God. They wouldn't go to church. Many of them died in hell now. And then there are those that are not far from the kingdom as regards to their intentions. They intend to. You've seen them kind, haven't you? I remember those 10 virgins over in Matthew 25. Five of them were foolish. They intended to have oil in their lamps. They intended to go when the bridegroom came. Their intentions were good. As far as their intentions go, they wasn't far from the kingdom of God. They were still outside. When the bridegroom came, they couldn't get in. And I'm afraid of a lot of folks in our churches today that come service after service, week and month and year after year, and seems like the gospel has no effect on them. And you ask them, oh, I'm going to get saved. I'm just not ready right now. I've had them tell me that, have you? I've had them say, well, I'm just not ready for it right now. Their intentions are good. They're going to, they think. But they may be like the five foolish virgins. It may be too late. See, this kingdom of God is
a spiritual thing. It's not something we can do. It's something that God does. And God never does anything accidentally. I thought, when I got saved, I thought, Lord, this is so different from what I was. Oh, I look back now, and I got to thinking, how in the world did I go so long? How did I go to 29 years old before I got saved? Then I realized I didn't go to church. My mom and dad wasn't Christians until about a year before I was saved. Mom was. My dad got saved after I started pastoring and got saved. Others of my family got saved. And I'm still looking for more to get saved. But I think time's running out. I think it's about wound up. And now, this experience is surreal to me today. Oh, sometimes I just cry because I don't think I'm worshiping good enough. Because I don't think I'm serving it like I ought to. Because I look back, see failure after failure. And I asked him, Lord, how in the world you put up with me? But you know something? That desire is still rooted so deep that I don't even want to get away from it. I just want to move up to it and be what God wants me to be. Somebody said, you tell that experience all the time. Hey, I ain't got nothing better to tell. It's the best thing ever happened to me. And I'm going to go on telling you. As long as God will let me, I'll just go on telling you. I've told it places. I've preached many different places. And I've told it about everywhere I went. And I'll find myself telling him again and again. I just can't have it. I can't have it. And you know, I don't want to have it. Being in this good kingdom, this spiritual kingdom that's far above this earthly thing, far above, on a higher plane, in a different realm, serving a king that's Lord of all and King of kings. Oh, this morning, I don't know who's saved and who ain't. I hope everybody is. But if you ain't, you need to get into this kingdom. You need this peace that I have in my heart. This joy that God lets me have once in a while. And the righteousness that He imputed. Oh, it cannot be denied, Brother Ken. You see, I don't go about a shirt and pull my yard because I don't want to. I don't do things. I don't go to places that I'm not supposed to go because I don't want to. God lets me do just about everything I want to. I'm going to close with this. God's message to Brother Gibby last night. I preached a message on this a few services ago in my church. God has asked us to live a life that we can't live. And He's asked us to do a work that we can't do. But you know what? It keeps us further to Him because He can. It keeps us clinging to Him and holding Him because He can do it in us and through us. And that's what it is. When you get into the kingdom, He just lives that life in you and works that work through you and makes you so glad that you're in His blessed kingdom. Amen. God bless you this morning.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I know what Brother Larry's talking about. Feels like just a failure. Gets thinking about how sorry you are. Slip away somewhere and pray. I've never found him complaining. Amen. Get somewhere by yourself and get on your knees, and he just comes down where you're at. Lays his hand on your shoulder and says, I love you. He's a wonderful Savior. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand. Amen. Amen, Brother Long. We're going to do that. We're going to do that.
Amen.
We've got a young man here in the church, Brother Keith's son, sits back here on this very back corner. He needs to be saved.
Yeah.
Amen. He's been on my heart heavy the last few days. But you pray for amen. Pray for Brother Larry's member there, man in his church, Sloth,
Jacob,
Shane. Amen. We've got a lost fellow that comes and sits on that fourth pew over there. He's as faithful as anybody you'd want to be. But he's lost. He's a good man, but he's lost. Amen. Pray for Doug. Amen. Brother George's grandson, been coming. Amen. He's lost. I asked him the other day, I said, you sure you're right with God? And he said, no, preacher, no. He said, I'm not saved. Pray for Zach. Lord, help him. Let's come get on this altar and pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. Miss Marilyn. Amen. 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 Brother Ted's oldest daughter lost. Brother Ray's brother lost. Amen. Brother Ronald's wife, children. Amen. Brother David Bryant, you lead us while we pray.
Father, we come to you again, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege. Lord, you give us the privilege. Lord, thank you for the fruit of the word. Lord, in our heart. Lord, I pray, Lord, you send the way, Lord, where it is. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the church. Thank you, Lord, for the better God. Lord, for the state of our church. We pray, Lord, for the people. Lord, for the people. Lord, I'm so glad God for each day I want to bless you with you. Lord, in all the lost things of the night, Lord, I need to be so. Lord, my life is our house, and we have to come to you about me. I'm so glad for the name of you, Lord, to get back to the house of God. Lord, when you redeem my soul, I'm so glad for God. Oh God, I can be saved this morning. Know our names written on the altar of life. Though we pass from death unto life. Oh God, their sin is bankrupt. For I'm glad for this morning. With no condemnation in my heart. I thank you, Lord God, for the victory of the Holy Ghost. I pray you to the heart of me. Been called out here this morning. Lord, forgive the Lord's shame. Lord, forgive us. Lord, God, for us, for the great authority of my great Lord God. Somehow, some way, Lord, give me your hand. May they see your heart draw without you. Lord, may they see their sins. Thank you, good for your holy name. Oh, God. In the fire of God, in the name of God. together here tonight, our world is convicted of this evil. God, deals with the people that you God, we pray that you would pray. Thank you, Lord God, for the world.
God, we've got dinner set across the way over here. Praise God. Stay with us and eat dinner. Amen. God bless you. You're at liberty to go. Amen.